go back and tell me on tape about you meeting, you know, how your story is, you meeting your wife and how you knew each other from the time we were first born.
I met Johnny, I guess, when I was, well, I guess, old enough to realize probably about two or three years old at least. Johnny's dead, and Johnny and her family live about 2 miles from us, what I call across the hill from us, and he was a truck farmer. His name was Jim Henry Knott, and Johnny and I went to school together too, and Daddy would sometimes trade hogs stuff with her daddy, and that's the way I really met Johnny. I really got to know Johnny a little more. Her daddy had lost a hog, an old sow, and the sow had pigs over on my daddy's property, and I found the old sow, and her daddy came over to get the old sow, and he kind of drove the old sow and the pig back by the house, and he picked one of the little pigs up and gave me the pig. And of course Johnny came with him, and then when we were freshmen in high school, Johnny and I we went together a little, I guess, or I dated her a little bit, which was puppy love. And then I broke up with her or whatever, the puppy love ended. And then
my mother said we were too young.
Too serious, too fast.
Let's see, with the juniors when,
we were juniors when we had our first date.
We had our first date. We went over to Lake Winnipesaukee in Chattanooga. Then I took her out to a movie that night, and we started dating regular. And we've been together ever since, in October, be
30 years. That's an accomplishment in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Do you remember these things like from the 50s, you know, when they started with the space program?
Yes, I remember when they started with the space program. I also remember when the first man landed on the moon. Johnny's daddy and mama was down at our house, and we was going to Florida that year. They was on television. Of course, we had a black and white TV and see space and land on the moon. Mm-hmm. It was real, you know. And I've heard people talk, say, people really didn't go to the moon, you know, so they just made that up on TV.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't go to the moon.
They didn't believe it.
They didn't believe that they were on the moon. They said they were out in Arizona or somewhere on the desert.
How about, where you grew up, were you around any blacks, or when did you begin to notice the segregation problem?
We grew up, they were blacks. Blacks we didn't really live in town in Swanee, Tennessee. We lived out in a little community called Midway Community. And the blacks lived in Swanee, which was in we call it Colored Town. And they were kind of separate from us. There was no blacks in school. We worked, Daddy worked with some blacks at that time. I didn't really notice the segregation part of it till I came back from Vietnam, because up there the blacks respected the whites and the whites respected the blacks. Mm-hmm. They got along good together.
What kind of occupations did they have?
The majority of blacks up there, they were janitors or ditch diggers. Some of them worked on the farm. Johnny's daddy had one that worked on the farm. Come up work on the farm. And of course, most of the black women, they didn't work.
What about when you were in boot camp? Were there some?
There were some blacks in boot camp. We got along real good with the blacks. Mm-hmm. There was no problem with the blacks.
Did they have their own platoon center? Were they?
No, they were in, when I went to boot camp, they were blacks in our platoon, and we had black troop handlers, black drill instructors.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no problem with segregation back mm-hmm. in boot camp. Even when I went to Vietnam, there was no problem with it.
So even with Martin Luther King, you know, giving his speeches, you didn't feel any resistance.
Right, not in the military. You did not, or even when we lived in Shawnee, Tennessee.
What about when Kennedy was assassinated?
When Kennedy was assassinated, it was in November 63. I was at Memphis, Tennessee. I believe it was on the 23rd of November. They canceled our liberty, and we had to stay on base all through the rest of November. We could not leave the base, and they had thought that communism or that some communist had assassinated Kennedy. Maybe it was a part of the civil rights movement. It didn't last that long until they let us go back to normal ways on the base. They figured out that it didn't have anything to do, you know, with trying to take over the United States or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't part of segregation, so
it just died down after
it died down after that. Yeah.
What about when you joined the military, for what reason did you do that?
Well, the reason I joined the Marine Corps, I knew that my classification 1A, and I would be drafted. And at that time, I didn't think I had my daddy didn't have money, and we didn't have the money for me to go to college, and I needed to get me some kind of education. And I knew that I was going to be drafted anyway, so I went ahead and joined the military to get me an education.
Mm-hmm. By you joining on your own or volunteering, were you able to tell them what division you wanted to go into and what you wanted to learn?
By volunteering on my own, yes, I was able to, I went under aviation guarantee, which was I could go to any part of aviation school. They had electronic, sheet metal, hydraulic, engine mechanic, or whatever I wanted to do. And at that time, I had talked to my brother. He was an ex-Marine and knew that things were escalating about Vietnam, and we knew that there might be a war, and sheet metal mechanics at that time, they need them real bad. Lockheed was on and all that, so that's one of the reasons that I went in as a sheet metal mechanic or structural mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
So when I come out, I get me a job at Lockheed Aircraft and have me a career, hopefully. Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell me about when you found out that you would be going to Vietnam. How did you feel, and what was the talk going on in the platoon?
Okay, I was hoping I was going to get through the Marine Corps without going to Vietnam. I had 13 months left when our whole squadron, we had 24 helicopters, we got orders that we were going to Vietnam. And they told us that the part of us that lived on the West Coast would go, they would fly out to California, fly out to their home, and they would have 30 days leave, and then they would fly to Alaska into Vietnam. The ones that lived on the East Coast, which was me, that we could go on leave for 30 days, and then we would come back and report to our squadron, and we would board the USS Boxer, and we would leave Norfolk, Virginia, and we would go to Vietnam on the USS Boxer by way of the Suez Canal. I asked the commander in charge of our outfit, I said, look, I only got 13 months left, can't I just not go to Vietnam? And he stated, no, anyone that had at least 6 months left in the squadron would go to Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
We went, it took us 30 days to go to Vietnam. We had one stop on the way. We stopped in Rota, Spain for about 2 hours. We had time to get a couple beers, and then we went on.
Do you remember the month and year?
Yeah, it was in May.
May
of 66. When we went to Vietnam, it was when we went through the Suez Canal, it was real hot.
Had you heard any stories about Vietnam?
I've heard all kinds of stories. I had some friends that then went over there. I was glad I was going with people I knew anyway,
mm-hmm.
out of the squadron. The USS Boxer we went over on was an old converted fixed wing aircraft carrier. It had wooden decks on it, and that was the last trip that it would make. It had a crack in it, and they were taking it back to Norfolk on dry docking. when we got into the Suez Canal, the lake in the middle of the Suez Canal, I guess that was our first really seeing what was going on over in the Middle East. We was a destroyer, and our aircraft carrier was parked in the lake in the middle of the Suez Canal, and there was two Russian MiGs flew in between us taking pictures. Of course, we had all the helicopters down below on the aircraft carrier.
Mm-hmm.
We also had a company of recon for us.
Was that exciting to you?
Yes, it was real exciting.
Mm-hmm.
The Suez Canal, going along the Suez Canal, you can see the Arabs and all the people on one side of this kind of farmland. And you can see the Arabs, they had entrenchments dug out along the bank, and they had machine guns in the entrenchments. They didn't bother us. And it took us 18 hours to go through the Suez Canal. And we went on in straight to Gibraltar and on in Saigon Harbor. We stopped in Saigon Harbor to refuel and to bring on supplies. And that is the first part of combat I really seen. We were out on the flight deck and some snipers started shooting. And after we got refueled, we left out of Saigon Harbor, went into Nam. And we offloaded our 24 helicopters at Marble Mountain, Vietnam.
So even in the city, you weren't really safe?
No, not anywhere you were safe. You never, you know, and you didn't know who was friendly and who was unfriendly, because the North Vietnamese and the South Vietnamese all looked alike.
Yeah.
Not any difference.
How did you tell them apart?
You couldn't. I mean, if they shot at you, you shot
right.
back. We unloaded at Da Nang, Vietnam, which we replaced another squadron at Marble Mountain. And they had tents, and they had wooden floors in them, and they had tents on top. And about halfway up was tin, and had screens down. It was, our living area was on the beach. When we got there, it was real hot in the first of June when we got there. And we also, the flight line was just old metal. Well, they called it Marsha matting metal, is what it was when we parked the helicopters. We had about four squadrons in one area, and all the tent area was tents. The shops were tents. Our tent area was out there on Highway 1. That's the main highway in Vietnam, which was just a dirt road. And across from us was the CB, and there was a monastery down below us. So we were out there in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. So Vietnam was a poor country?
It was a real poor country, yeah.
Why do you think the United States had such an interest in it?
Well, at that time, you know, communism was a big thing. They was trying to stop communism. And that's all you heard, you know, we got to stop communism. And of course, North Vietnam was backed by Red China and Russia.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that. And figured that was where we need to stop communism. A lot of people thought it was a political war. And I tend to agree that it was. A lot of people got rich off of Vietnam.
So tell me about once you got off the ship and got your quarters and then...
Of course, we got off the ship and we were assigned tents. The officers were assigned different tents than I was. I was a corporal in the Marine Corps at this time, which is a non-commissioned officer. At that time I was put on guard duty the first day I was in Vietnam. We had brought supplies such as cots and refrigerators, because refrigerators, anything cold was scarce in Vietnam. You didn't have it. If you didn't bring it with you, you couldn't buy it. I was put in charge of all the cots and everything at that time when we got everything in. And I had to issue out all the supplies. Then as soon as we got everything in, we went to work on the helicopters. And our helicopters carried 24 combat troops, and it was our duty to keep these helicopters ready to go at all times. And we were assigned as gunners. You could fly a gunner every other month. You could also fly search and rescue. But we had to take the troops into the landing zones if there was an operation going on, and we would fly the troops into the, I'd fly as gunner or search and rescue, and we'd go into the landing zone. We had a 50 caliber machine gun and a 30 caliber mounted in the windows of the helicopters, and we would load up, we would go pick the troops up, and we would fly them into the landing zones on these operations. We also occasionally, we flew medevacs. Most of the time, the UH-1E helicopters flew the medevac because they were smaller and faster.
Mm-hmm.
They could go in and pick up the wounded and get them out quicker than the big 46
helicopter. You were probably in danger too, because that was prime target.